Trading in futures products entails significant risk of loss, which must be understood prior to trading and may not be appropriate for all investors.
Good morning, everybody. It's Monday, March 18th, 5:27 a.m. Central Time. Grain markets mixed to higher this morning. May corn futures up 1.25 at 4:38. May soybeans down 3.5 at 11.94¾. May Chicago wheat up 6¾ at 5:35¼. May Kansas City wheat up 5¼ at 5:71½. May spring wheat up 4 cents at 6:50½. Let's start off with the funds and some short covering.
So traders have reduced their net short position in the corn market. CFTC released weekly commitment of traders data on Friday during the week ending March 12th. The funds were net buyers of 33,000 contracts of corn. The net short of 252,000 contracts remains historically large. However, in the past 3 weeks, the funds have trimmed their net short position by 76,000 contracts. Funds were net buyers of 14,000 contracts of soybeans. The net short of 147,000 contracts remains the largest since mid-2019, and the funds were net sellers of 14,000 contracts of SRW wheat on the week.
Corn market, your May contract nearby, has rallied 36 cents trough to peak. So we bottomed right around the same time that all these March basis contracts were being priced in late February. And the trend has been higher since then. Now, we peeled back a little bit from last week's highs, but the chart still looks drastically better to me. Now, the net shorts here are still real heavy. These are big time net shorts, 252,000 in corn, 146,000 in soybeans. In the soybean market, we've seen an 89 cent rally from trough to peak. We did go up and traded up to what, 12.17 in May futures last week, rejected that. We traded above $12 in the May contract overnight very briefly, but we've peeled back. But short term, you look at the May corn chart, you look at the May soybean chart, short term, since the end of February, I would most certainly argue that the trend has been higher. When you look at the net short across the three contracts that we track most heavily here, corn, soybeans, and SRW wheat, it's still a massive net short, 478,000 contracts net short across those three contracts. And that number was past 500,000 for a couple of weeks, kind of on and off. But funds are still very heavily short, and we're in the midst of like a minor-ish short covering event right now. We're not really into like a major short covering event, but it looks a little bit better, I guess.
NOPA released February crush data on Friday. NOPA members processed 186.2 million bushels of soybeans in February, up 0.2% from January and 12.6% from February of last year. The February crush was the largest on record for the month and also exceeded the average trade estimate of 178.1 million bushels. End of month, soybean oil stocks in February increased to 1.7 billion pounds. Pre-report estimates were expecting 1.6 billion pounds. Stocks were up 12.2% from the end of January and were the largest end of month supply since June.
So let's look at this again. I had this chart last week, exports and crush. These are USDA projections. The projection from USDA this year is that domestic processors will crush a record amount of soybeans, 2.3 billion bushels. Given the pace of crush that we've seen, USDA is probably too low, to the tune of 20, 30, 40, 50 million bushels, depending on what happens the next several months. So USDA may have to come up with its crush number from an already record high projection. So that's really good. The problem is that we've got the exact opposite thing going on in exports. The export program is projected to be the weakest since, what, the 1920 marketing year, which was associated with the trade war. And given the pace of sales and shipments there, USDA may have to come down by a similar amount. So at the end of the day, any USDA adjustments when it comes to the demand base could be a wash. It could be higher crush and lower exports potentially. Hopefully we find some footing on the export market, but just doesn't seem plausible right now. Brazil is undercutting what we can offer out of the United States, and it's problematic. We've seen a sharp rise in soybean oil stocks, and I suppose this means that the biofuel producers, and we've talked, you know, all about the renewables and biofuels, but I think for the moment, maybe they've got what they need. I guess we've been exporting some soybean oil, which is something that people did not think that we'd see. But all in all, for the soybean market, the crush component is very much a positive.
So if you guys have not checked out our premium content, you need to do so. Joe, can you tell me about some videos you put together last week?
Shay was on Thursday, talked about flex rent decisions, and also made a free tool available. So if you're in a flex rent situation, it's kind of difficult to navigate from a financial standpoint. And Shay made this a little bit easier to digest. I thought this was a really good video, especially if you're in that situation. We did Social Media Circus on Friday. We took Matt Bennett was on, and we talked about a whole bunch of different things, everything from biofuels to probably some political nonsense. I don't know. This was like, what, 25 minutes long. Mm-hmm. The video that's going to go out today, this is a must-watch video. It's super interesting. So I had Mitchell Hora on Friday morning. We taped on Friday morning. And Mitchell is a farmer in Iowa. He's very heavily invested into the carbon scoring space. That's his business. He's an agronomist. And what I did on Thursday, I blasted out a text message to our premium subs. And I said, guys, I'm having Mitchell Hora on. He's going to answer all of your questions about carbon scoring on the farm, all of this tax credit stuff, the ethanol plants, carbon sequestration, all that. I got hundreds of questions back. I whittled it down to 30. And this video is 47 minutes long. It's 47 minutes worth of Q&A uninterrupted regarding carbon scoring. I think that we answered almost every question that came in, and this is must watch stuff. If you're not in the loop when it comes to this carbon scoring thing, you absolutely need to be. And it's must watch. That's all I can say about it. Go to standardgrain.com. You can sign up this morning. That carbon scoring video is going to be blasted out at 10 a.m. Central Time. You'll want to be on the list when that goes out. This is a $50 per month subscription. You can cancel at any time. No other fee, no other obligation. Nobody will try to sell you anything else. Give that deal a shot this morning, guys.
At a rally speech over the weekend in Dayton, Ohio, Trump stated that if reelected, he would impose 100% tariffs on cars built by Chinese companies in Mexico. The former president has doubled his tariff level in a very short time, as just earlier this month, he threatened a 50% tariff on Chinese cars. He also plans to implement tariffs of up to 60% on all items made in China and 10% on goods made anywhere else in the world. Trump has stated on multiple occasions that he is not worried about possible retaliation from China or other nations. Trump officially secured the Republican Party's nomination just last week.
Okay, so we include this because it is very possibly a big story for the grain markets. If you guys want to talk about other political items, if you want to talk about the border disaster, you want to talk about Ukraine funding, that's separate from this. We're talking about this as it relates to the grain markets in a vacuum. This is a grain market show. I have no interest in discussing politics outside of the grain markets. That being said, we'll review this again. I had this chart last week. I'll show it to you again. The last time we had a trade war with China, it was a disaster for the soybean market. China was, during this period, largely able to avoid U.S. soybeans. They had African swine fever going on at that time, but Chinese purchases fell apart. And the soybean markets sat at $8 or $9 for the better part of a year and a half. And ultimately, yeah, China signed a trade deal with the United States. They bought a whole bunch of corn. They bought a whole bunch of soybeans. But that time period, there was a long time period there where things were really dicey. And you didn't know for a while if you were getting an MFP payment. You did eventually. And eventually you got the MFP payment and higher prices. And eventually it worked out. The thing that scares me is that year and a half, however long it was, where we had the trade war in place, we had low prices, and we had no MFP payments. When it comes to just how big of a deal how big China is, China, this current marketing year accounts for 57% of all U.S. export commitments. They are the soybean buyer. And exports are projected to account for 42% of all demand for U.S. soybeans. So China is a phenomenal portion of the demand base for U.S. soybeans. And if they disappear because we're involved in a trade war, that's hugely problematic. Now, maybe what happens ultimately is we play a game of musical chairs on the export market and other global buyers come to the United States. China buys most of what they need from Brazil. Maybe that happens, but the headlines won't be good. I remember the trade war last time very vividly. China tariffs U.S. soybeans limit down. I remember this. It happened. I'm not making this up, guys. It happened, and it wasn't that long ago. So just be prepared for it. I don't care who you vote for. I don't have any other political takes. I'm just telling you that there's some risk. There's a huge amount of risk associated with a potential trade war come call it January, February, whatever next year. So it is what it is, guys.
USDA reported a flash sale of corn on Friday. U.S. exporters sold 5 million bushels of corn to unknown destinations for delivery during the current marketing year. Accumulated corn sales for the current marketing year are up 27% compared to the same period last year.
Unknown destinations is often but not always associated with China. And if China was in fact back in the market for U.S. corn, that would be very, very positive. This is not a big sale. It's not enough to move the needle. Corn popped on this, I thought, a little bit. I thought we saw a little bit of a rally attempt on Friday off of this. And if somebody knows something that I don't, that this is China back in the market, that would be interesting. The problem right now is Ukraine. Ukraine's got the cheapest corn available on the export market, and China has been buying corn from Ukraine. The U.S. and Brazil are pretty close in terms of competitiveness right now. So we'd love to see an uptick in export business. That's how you can really move the needle right now when it comes to the balance sheets.
On Sunday night, a Russian drone attack damaged two agricultural businesses located in the Black Sea port of Odessa. Numerous industrial buildings were also destroyed. No injuries were reported. Also on Sunday, which was the final day of Russia's presidential vote, Ukraine launched a drone strike against broad areas of Russia, including Moscow. Reuters, however, were unable to verify that attack.
Landslide victory for Putin. Another 6 years. That's what was reported. So the wheat market goes wild on this. We're up 4 to 8 cents. I don't think they just don't care about these Black Sea stories anymore. What did cattle do on Friday?
Closed mostly higher. Feeders were 80 cents lower to $1.80 higher. Live cattle were 2 cents higher to 52 cents higher. Cash cattle trade was higher last week for the fourth consecutive week. In the north, cattle traded between 187 to 188, which was $2 to $3 higher compared to the previous week. In the south, cattle traded at 186, which was $1 higher from the prior week. Box beef was higher last week over week. Choice ended the day on Friday at 311.80. That was up 486 for the week. And select closed Friday at 302.40. That was up 497 for the week.
Outside markets on Monday, U.S. dollars about flat. Stocks are mixed. Bonds off a little bit. Crude oil has been creeping higher, up 80 cents in the May WTI at 81.38. Have a great week, guys. We'll talk to you on Tuesday.